This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Across Northern Ireland, on your radio and on BBC Sounds. This is
The Stephen Nolan Show!
Well, on Nolan this morning, we've got the letter from the... It's an extraordinary letter, according to the Police Federation in Northern Ireland. Doug Beattie from the Ulster Unionist Party has described it as deplorable. The Policing Board have said they're going to consider it. Anyway, this letter that the Nolan Show's got a hold of is a letter written by the Permanent Secretary, Hugh Wittes, from the Department of Justice to the Chief Constable, telling him off, telling him he stepped out of line and how he has written directly to the Prime Minister for funding him, warning him that it is the Permanent Secretary's duty to intervene if he does it again in terms of if he continues to say publicly that he's going to overspend, requiring Boucher to promise he won't overspend, and Boucher publicly in response saying, I'll be waiting for the politicians when they get back from holiday. What an extraordinary situation. All unfolds on the Nolan Show this morning.
The Stephen Nolan Show!
An astonishing story this morning, which lifts the lid as to what is going on in the fight that there seems to be for John Boucher to get more money for policing in Northern Ireland. Just one working day, the Prime Minister flew into Northern Ireland on Monday. On Friday, the Department of Justice, the Permanent Secretary, Hugh Wittes, and a Permanent Secretary doesn't do anything without the sign-off of the Minister, Naomi Long. Hugh Wittes, the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Justice, wrote to John Boucher, the Chief Constable of this country, and the Nolan Show has the letter. Boucher is told off for a number of different things. But the pertinent part of this story is that it was not a private chastisement between the Department of Justice to John Boucher. The Permanent Secretary, Hugh Wittes, chose to copy the rebuke to the Prime Minister one day before Boucher was meeting Keir Starmer. He chose, did Mr. Wittes, to copy the letter to the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, to the First and Deputy First Minister, to the Minister of Justice, the Justice Committee, the Minister of Finance, and the Northern Ireland Policing Board. And in this letter, Wittes tells Boucher that he has stepped out of line. He warns him that if he does not work within his budget, Mr. Wittes warns him that he will personally intervene because he trumps Boucher as the ultimate accounting officer in charge of the budget. So this is a fight about money. This is a fight as to how to get money. And this is Stormont telling the Chief Constable that he will go through them. Now, how did the Chief Constable respond? When he came out of the Prime Minister's meeting on Monday, the words that he said are much more relevant now that we know about this letter. He essentially sent them a message to Stormont telling them that he's not worried about meeting them. They should be worried. Stormont should be worried about meeting him. Here it is, slightly coded.
When they get back in September, I'll be waiting and I'll be talking to them about the issues that I've highlighted to the PM and to them previously.
Now, that's after he received this letter. The Police Federation's Liam Kelly with us today. Good morning to you, Liam.
Good morning, Stephen.
There's no doubt. I've spoken to a number of journalists this morning about this. They're calling this explosive.
Indeed, it is, Stephen. I mean, I'm completely appalled. It's a high-handed attempt to gag, embarrass and chastise our chief constable. I mean, I'll give you an analogy. I was listening to Good Morning Ulster earlier about the football match of the day. And this is the football equivalent of showing the chief constable a yellow card. I mean, he's effectively pointed out to him his indiscretions of the past and basically put him on a final warning that the next indiscretion could result in a red card.
Well, how's Boucher going to react to that?
Well, I'm sure the Chief Constable when has reflected on us, and I'm sure he will be making a response to this. But He's certainly not going to lie down, in my opinion, on this, because, I mean, he's personally and professionally putting himself on the line here to ensure that our police service gets the investment that it sorely needs. And that's the sort of leadership that I can stand 100% behind.
Well, the bottom line is he is the accounting officer with regards to the police budget, and the rules are, and this is what Willis is pointing out to him in this letter, the rules are that he has got to stick within his budget.
Yeah, I think it goes deeper than that, Stephen. The tone and the tenor of the letter itself, in my view, was disgraceful. I mean, in a crude attempt to put the chief constable firmly back in his box, this is about power. And exerting power and making sure that the chief constable was fully aware of where the power lies. And clearly, him contacting the Prime Minister directly and having conversations directly with the Prime Minister has put a few people's noses out of joint. And therefore, this is the response that they think is appropriate to do that. And as you've said, I mean, the fact that it's been copied to the great and the good shows to me that it was a deliberate attempt to make sure that he was this was publicised as far as possible. Really to bring total embarrassment to him around this. But I know he won't lie down to this one, absolutely not.
Well, what's he publicly going to say about it? That's the question. Well, now, Hugh Willis says in this letter, and it's available within the next few seconds on my Twitter feed, we'll make sure that our colleagues in the newsroom, BBC News Online, have it as well. The Permanent Secretary for the Department of Justice. Now, at the end of the day, the Permanent Secretary is responsible and accountable to Naomi Long. So this is the Justice Minister sending this message to the Chief Constable, don't do it again, in terms of contacting people, asking for funding directly. Here's what some of the letter says. There are certain protocols which must be followed when engaging with the UK government on matters of funding in order to respect the constitutional arrangements in Northern Ireland, and in particular, the authority of ministers in a devolved government. So again, the context for that, Liam, John Boucher has recently told the policing board that the funding is deplorable and he has been abandoned by those people responsible for the funding. In other words, Stormont. So he's criticised Stormont. He's saying Stormont has abandoned the police of Northern Ireland. And here you have Wittis, the Permanent Secretary, representing Naomi Long, talking about the authority of ministers in a devolved government. That devolved government have not given the police the money the Chief Constable say they need.
Yeah, I mean, in my view, it's a clear attempt to gag the Chief Constable and prevent him from speaking about the cuts and the failure of Stormont themselves, the campaign for a proper budget. And it's more evidence, Stephen, of how dysfunctional and broken our system is. I mean, this is quite petty in some regards, in that we have people in our government who are more interested in protocol and processes than actually fixing the problems that are actually there. And these problems that the Chief Constable has brought to the table of the Prime Minister directly are nothing new to what he's already told our own executive and our own government and our own officials. They're just not reacting to it. They're dithering. They're procrastinating. And in that void, we have seen what happened in the last number of weeks is the police are at breaking point. And I think our Chief Constable has basically been forced into a corner around this one. He's not getting what he needs. He's not getting the resources that he wants. And now he's had to go to the Prime Minister directly, and they're more interested in process and protocol.
Well, this is also this letter. This letter says in consultation with the Department of Finance, I'm writing to you. So this is Kiva Archibald. This is Sinn Féin supporting this message to the Chief Constable. Don't do it again. You can argue, though, Liam, that look, they're the elected representatives. It should go through them.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Stephen. It has gone through them. He has already had these conversations directly with them. And indeed, when the Stormont reformed or came back from recess the other week to call out the despicable events that were occurring in Northern Ireland in the lead up to that week, the Chief Constable told him directly that he was going to go to the Prime Minister. And that's exactly what he did. So it was no surprise to them. It wasn't a solo run by the Chief Constable. He has told them that I have brought everything to you over the course of my tenure, and nothing has changed, and I need to do something else here. So, I mean, I don't think he has stepped out of line. Indeed, I think they have stepped out of line by sending this letter to him.
There is a question here now for consistency within the Stormont regime. is the permanent secretary for the Department of Education going to write to their own minister, Paul Given, the DUP minister? He has said he's going to overspend. Is he getting a warning letter to never do it again? What is the head of the civil service going to do in terms of these permanent secretaries work to the head of the civil service? So why wouldn't Paul Given be given a warning letter? Mike Nesbitt, the Minister for Health, he has publicly said he's going to overspend. Is Jane Brady going to instruct the Permanent Secretary for Mike Nesbitt to be given a warning letter? Or why would it just be the Chief Constable? Andrew in Bangor, first call of the day. Stay there, Liam. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Two things, Stephen. Firstly, I fully support everything that Liam Kelly has said there. This is a disgraceful attempt by the Minister to publicly slap down the Chief Constable, and is unacceptable. Secondly, point that I would make...
Well, the Minister is talking about process.
Yes, the Minister is talking about process. However, the manner in which she has done this, by deliberately publicly making this letter public and addressing the world and its granny... And
well, she hasn't made it public. The Nolan Show is making it public this morning. But what her Permanent Secretary did was copy it to many different people, including Keir Starmer, knowing that the Prime Minister... Well, if they didn't know, they certainly knew Monday, one day before Starmer arrives in Northern Ireland, Boucher is told off in front of the Prime Minister's eyes in this letter.
Yeah, disgraceful, in my opinion. Now, secondly, the Chief Constable is doing exactly what a Chief Constable should do. The Chief Constable's responsibility is to his officers and to the public of Northern Ireland. He is also accountable to the policing board. Now, there's an interesting point. Now,
they were copied into this too, so we're contacting the policing board as we speak. Do they want to publish? Is this how a Chief Constable should be treated? Or do the policing board agree with Hugh Willis that the Chief Constable's got to work within his budget?
No, firstly, what I would say on the issue of the policing board, that is in itself, and again, diverts slightly from the topic today, but that in itself is part of the problem, because we have a Justice Minister and a policing board who have been supposed to be having a review launch for nearly a year, and that has still not happened. To be quite frank, the Justice Minister, and I speak as a former Alliance voter, the Justice Minister has shown complete arrogance in her attitude and her approach to this and her behaviour towards police officers.
Well, let's be fair to Naomi Long. How can you have any department willfully, deliberately overspending? Like, what happens to this place if that happens?
Again, Stephen, I'm married to a teacher, and the Education Board has overspent. The Department of Health have overspent. Have letters been sent to the heads of those departments to tell them that they are to publicly chastise them? No. This is disgraceful.
Nesbitt, and maybe I heard earlier on, so let me clarify that. So what Mike Nesbitt has said is that there are some cuts he will not make, and some people have extrapolated, well, he'll overspend. That's not saying technically he'll overspend. It means that he might make other cuts, other places to work within his budget. We will seek from the Department of Health clarity on that.
The Department of Education has overspent every year for the last several years. There's no doubt about that. Secondly, the other point as well is the Chief Constable is doing exactly what previous Chief Constables have done. Now, I appreciate that in recent years the Chief Constables have been, well, I'll not name names, but in the most recent past, the Chief Constables have been unable to fight up and stand up. So they've got a Chief Constable who is actually doing what he should be doing. He's standing up for his officers and arguing that they need more money. But it's not the first time that a Chief Constable has gone to the Treasury and asked for more money. Matt Bagot did it. He asked for additional money to police the security threat, and he got £250 million of extra funding, or thereabouts, my figures may not be entirely accurate, from the Treasury to police the
threat. Let me read more from this letter. Any bid for additional funding should appropriately be made to HM Treasury from the Department of Finance following engagement with the Department of Justice. Having considered the detail of your letter to the Prime Minister, it is my view that you have acted outside the well-established financial protocols that are in place for accounting officers in Northern Ireland. And having read that, what did Boucher do? He went public on Monday and he said, I'm waiting for them to come back from holiday. So that it doesn't look like the Prime Minister is lying down. It doesn't look like he's frightened by this letter at all. The Chief Constable,
And neither he should be. Mr. Boucher has clearly exhausted all internal and local avenues. It's quite obvious that he has done that. The arguments that have been made publicly for several years about the policing budget...
How do you know so much? Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I? I'm a retired officer.
Okay.
So I know and have seen up close and personal the impact on policing. Policing is hemorrhaging resources left, right and centre as a result of how it is being run into the ground. There's a well-being crisis within the PSNI, and the Chief Constable is doing what he should be doing. I'm actually fully supportive of him.
Well,
it's the first Chief Constable in a long time that I've seen actually standing up to him, and I hope he continues.
Well, Liam Kelly, Andrew, thank you. 030 30 80 55 55. We've contacted the DUP this morning to see what they're going to say. They say they're a party which supports the policing and the police of Northern Ireland. They're also in the executive, obviously, so there is a conundrum here. Let's see what the DUP say about this. Liam Kelly, back to you with regards to the Police Federation response to this. There is a warning from Hugh Wittes in this. He says that he will personally intervene. He says it's his duty to intervene if Boucher doesn't stick within his budget. So you have a Chief Constable publicly saying he will overspend, and you have Hugh Wittes, the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Justice, saying, I will intervene, I will stop you. So where will that leave the actual safety of policing in Northern Ireland if Wittes does intervene and stops the Chief Constable spending what he thinks he needs to spend to keep us safe?
Well, I mean, that's one of the most concerning things about this entire letter. In fact, you know, my interpretation of it is that's quite menacing.
It's not menacing. Come on now, Liam.
It's menacing in respect of it. You know, he's basically pointing out to the Chief Constable, and by copying the policing board in, that basically he's vulnerable as our Chief Constable. And if he doesn't do what he's being told to do, the power will be taken away from him.
But it's ludicrous to suggest that something is menacing because a permanent secretary, presumably under the instruction of his minister, is reminding a Chief Constable that he's got to work within the budget. Let me read the exact words, Liam, and you get a sense here of how many times now the Chief Constable has been warned. You will recall, says Wittes, Mr. Wittes, that I wrote to you in June to remind you of your accounting officer responsibilities, including the proper use of public money and due regard to affordability and sustainability of budgets. Well, what does he mean by that? Proper use of public money? Is the Department of Justice suggesting that the Chief Constable is improperly using public money? So what does that mean for a start?
Let me read the
next paragraph. My predecessor, Richard Pengelly, also wrote to you along similar lines in December 2023. So there's the second warning. Following your comments at a meeting of the policing board, I would take this opportunity as a further reminder to state that in accepting your role as accounting officer, you are required to follow the principles, rules, guidance and advice as outlined in Managing Public Money Northern Ireland. These responsibilities include living within the budgetary control totals that have been set by the Assembly. As principal accounting officer, Wittes says it is my duty to intervene if these rules are not followed. And he then goes on, Liam, to say, I would ask you once again to reaffirm your commitment to act within them. So he's telling Boucher, you need to get in touch with us and promise you're going to work within your budget. Boucher's saying he can't do that. Where does this go next?
That's the thing. And to say that, I'm concerned that in doing that, and if that actually manifested itself in that the Chief Constable wasn't in control, or the control of his operational budget was removed from him, then, in my view, the policing board is the employer of the Chief Constable are being asked a question here. Is the Chief Constable the right person to be in charge of this organisation? I'll tell you now, Stephen, Mr. Boucher is the right person to be in charge of our organisation. And the fact that the Mr. Wittes' peers and our politicians aren't dealing with the actual crisis that's in policing and resorting to what I would say is coercive tactics to curtail, restrain and admonish him, when he's actually doing his level best for both the service and the entire community.
Well,
and the reality around accounting officers, Stephen, if you let me finish this one, is there's more responsibilities for the Chief Constable than just being the accounting officer. His ultimate responsibility is to keep Northern Ireland safe and to provide a policing service in this country. And if he can't do that and he's not getting the support to do that, then God help us.
Well, there are other suggestions within this letter, Liam. And remember, this letter was deliberately copied to the Prime Minister of this country and the Policing Board and the Justice Committee. And within this letter, there is at least an inference that John Boucher has not got his act together in terms of presenting a proper business case to seek funding. Where it says the following: I fully acknowledge the challenges facing the PSNI and want to assure you that the Justice Minister and indeed the Northern Ireland Executive are committed to continuing to press the Treasury for a fair funding package to deliver public services in Northern Ireland. However, it is pertinent to remind you that any request for additional funding will require a full, robust business case and must follow the due process. So Willis knows that's going to the Prime Minister. That suggests a full, robust business case hasn't been put together by Boucher. He needs to be accountable for that. Why hasn't he put a full business case together?
And Julie, the thing around this, Stephen, that completely undermines any of the evidence that the Chief Constable has presented to Stormont. Basically what they're saying is you need to use our figures, not the figures that you have got the evidence. So they trust their own figures more than they trust the information that's coming from our chief. So there's a lack of trust here that's being expressed because he's not towing the party line.
Well, Willis then suggests that the evidence and analysis doesn't stand up to scrutiny. Look at this line in this letter is explosive. It says the following: you should therefore note the requirement to provide evidence and analysis. Here's the pertinent bit, that can stand up to scrutiny at all levels. So Northern Ireland's trying to fight for more money for policing, and the Permanent Secretary for Justice is saying, it could be interpreted from that to say, does our case stand up to scrutiny at all levels? And that's been copied to the man they're asking for more money from.
But I suppose my question out of this, Stephen, is why was this raised the way it has been with the Chief Constable? Why could those not be those difficult conversations that happen at the highest levels all the time in this country? I mean, you don't need me to tell you. Politics can be dirty and brutal. But ultimately on this here, they will have disagreements and they will have differences of opinion on stuff. But I mean, that basically is saying that the figures and the information and the evidence that the Chief Constable and his team has put together to justify the funding case for the PSNI is wrong and completely undermined, and they disagree with him.
Well,
they're basically trying to say that he's got it wrong.
Ultimately, this letter, it's from the Justice Minister, isn't it? The Permanent Secretary is just writing it. This will have been signed off by Naomi Long. It says, I understand this was raised. You should therefore note the requirement to provide evidence analysis that can stand up to scrutiny at all levels. I understand this was raised in your meeting with the Minister, so that's Naomi Long, on the 13th of August, and that our respective teams will engage to consider how best to develop a proportionate business case. A meeting has been arranged for early next week to begin that work. Here's Fred in Lisburn. Morning, Fred.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
What do you make of this?
Stephen, I've been trying to ask this question the past couple of days. Basically, I think John Boucher is right here. Because John Boucher has made a case, number one. Number two, there is funding available in the form of the £3.3 billion that the Prime Minister has agreed for Northern Ireland. If we fundraise ourselves at the tune of 113 million. But it's the likes of the Alliance and Sinn Féin who have clearly stated, and I'll actually quote Michelle O'Neill's words in an interview she done on BBC, no tax revenue funding will take place on my watch.
Well, so I would need to find that quote.
Well, it was...
I doubt the First Minister has ruled out any tax-raising revenue.
That's what she
revenue.
Said.
I doubt it.
That's what she said. I can guarantee it.
Well,
I
want to go and check that. I want to go and check it.
The other point is that Stormont was collapsed for 3 years at a time, nearly. Look at the money wasted paying their salaries that could have been saved and put into helping solve our funding crisis in the likes of the police, the education and the health boards.
Fred, thank you. Good morning. 03030 80 55 55. The crime correspondent for the Belfast Telegraph, Alison Morris, will be responding to this. Liam Kelly, before you go this morning, there's an accusation within this Department of Justice letter copied to the Prime Minister that Boucher has got all of his figures mixed up as well. Wittes says, it is important to highlight that the figures quoted for Justice reflect the Office of National Statistics analysis of data for public spending on public order and safety, which includes the fire service and Home Office costs. The ONS figures do not specifically relate to the actual budget or expenditure for the Department of Justice and are therefore not an appropriate basis to use for comparative purposes. And Wittes is referring to Boucher using that in the letter he sent to the Prime Minister.
Yeah, and that's why we go back to where we started on this one, Stephen. This is a very personal slapdown on and basically undermines our chief constable in what he's actually saying to the Prime Minister around this. And again, I think he touched on this on Monday when the Prime Minister was here in Northern Ireland, when he basically said that there's two masters at play here in relation to devolved policing issues in Northern Ireland, but also national security, which is obviously governed through Westminster. And somehow Pace and I have found themselves in the cracks of both. And I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're saying you can only use the figures that we want you to use, as opposed to data that he has extrapolated from other sources. So this is a part of this tension, Stephen, that's there. So rather than be supportive of the Chief Constable and making sure that he has a proper budget to deal with the crisis that's in policing, I mean, you don't need me to point out again, our officer numbers are alarmingly shrinking. The workplace pressures and demands are completely unsustainable and they're breaking our officers, and our services are already starting to be pared back. But I mean, if our own politicians and departments are more concerned about their positions of power and slavishly following their own protocols and processes, then we are in serious problems here in Northern Ireland, and policing in particular. Policing can't fail, Stephen, and that's the whole purpose of John Boucher doing what he's doing. He needs to make sure that policing is able to deliver what policing does.
What do you expect the policing board to do about this?
Well, I'd be very interested to see what their response is going to be to this here, because, I mean, the fact that they've been copied into it, and, I mean, this was sent to them last Friday, I believe. I mean, there's going to be complete silence around this. I'm surprised that this has taken so long to make its way onto the airwaves, because, I mean, this, as you said at the outset, it's completely explosive, and I'm completely appalled as to how our Chief Constable is being treated.
He's intimated he's going to take them on. Like, that's what that message is. I'll be waiting for you. Like, it's close to Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. The Chief Constable is squaring up to them. When you get back from holiday, I'll be waiting for you. How does this relationship repair itself?
Well, that's the thing, and I mean, I think he will be conciliatory with them, but ultimately he has to deliver, and he has to get the resources that he needs to be able to do the job that he was employed to do and coming into Northern Ireland. So I applaud his backbone on this, that he's actually standing up not only for our officers but for the policing services that we deliver. And that may well bring some personal and professional risk to him, but he's willing to take that chance, Stephen. And as I said, that's the leadership that I can stand behind, and that's the leadership that our federation will back 100%.
How does this go down with the rank and file, do you think?
I think they're seeing what a true chief constable needs to look like. They're seeing a true chief constable who's not concerned about moving and for personal gravitas or kudos in other places. He's in policing for the right reasons, and he's delivering policing the way it should be delivered.
Liam Kelly, thank you very much indeed. Let's pause there. We'll get the news from the BBC. Former leader of the Ulster Unionist Party, Doug Beattie, joining us this morning. Doug, the Nolan Show making this letter public this morning. What do you make of it? Good morning.
Well, I've seen it because I'm a member of the Justice Committee, Stephen. I think it's appalling. But look, I've discussed this with you previously, because you asked me the question about the Chief Constable having to overspend, and I said, look, he's got no choice. And if you just look at the levels of his police service, he's going to lose 300 police officers through natural wastage in a year alone. and probably the chess pieces of deployable police officers now is below 5,000 when you take out all the sick and those who are doing other duties. He's got no choice. No choice but to recruit, and in recruiting, he's going to be over budget. And if the Department of Justice can't understand this and do something about it, I don't know who's going to fight his corner for him. Because I did say this to you before, but there seems to be nobody standing up to fight his corner. The budget that he's been given is unworkable, and people need to know that.
Well, the Department of Justice are saying there are certain protocols which must be followed. They're saying they want to fight for more money, but it's got to go through them. And Stormont.
Well, protocols are protocols, but they're simply not fighting hard enough for our police service. Whenever the budget was agreed, nobody went to the police service and to the Chief Constable saying, this is the budget we're going to agree and this is what the outcome is going to be for yourself. I'll tell you now that when we were given our budget for health and Robin Swan was the minister, he went to every trust and said, this is what's likely to be the outcome. And they went back to him and said, we can't work with that. And that's why we could not support the budget. And with the justice and policing, it's exactly the same. John Boucher was quite clear that he could not survive on the budget that he was being given, and he has no choice.
Well, he's being told here by the Department of Justice, he is being told by the Justice Minister, until anything changes, work within your budget, and if you don't, the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Justice has told Boucher it's his duty to intervene. Now, what does that mean?
Well, he may well intervene, but I think people can see the position that John Boucher has been put in, and he's been put in that position because of politicians' inactivity. I'm one of those, by the way, because of politicians' inactivity to give him what he needs to protect the people of Northern Ireland. That's the simple fact. And John Boucher is the leader, the commander of a police service, and he's absolutely right to do everything in his power to try and secure more money. And if that means going to the Prime Minister, and he goes to the Prime Minister. And I know we got a sympathetic ear from the Prime Minister. And I hope that the Prime Minister can see that we have a larger national security issue here in Northern Ireland than they have in some other...
Well, did he get a sympathetic ear from the Prime Minister? Because the whole point of part of this story is, before the Chief Constable for Northern Ireland sat down with the Prime Minister was sent sight of this letter which said Boucher got his figures wrong, which said Boucher was out of line, and which said that Boucher would it was basically putting Boucher in his box in terms of what the powers was that he had and how everything needed to go through Stormont. So would Sir Keir Starmer have respected Boucher at all?
Well, I'll be honest. I think the Prime Minister understands Northern Ireland. He understands Northern Ireland policing and justice, and he understands the difficult job that our Chief Constable have. I'll be honest, I think he will have looked to the professional police officer for his analysis of the situation as opposed to a permanent secretary in an office. That's the reality of it. John Boucher is seeing this on a day-to-day basis. I've spoken to him, and he said to me he had two police officers commit suicide because of the pressures that they are under. He had to go and speak to their families and understand those pressures. We can't have that continue. Our police service cannot be dwindled down to the rate it is and not feel it's going to have an effect on the individual police officers, their families, and on a service we want to provide for us. And like I say to you, Stephen, if we're talking here of deployable chess pieces, if I can use that awful analogy, deployable chess pieces on the ground, that our police service is probably below 5,000.
Below 5,000?
Yes, well, you're talking about 6,300.
Hadn't talked about 7,500 being needed, plus a reserve on top of that.
Absolutely, but think about this. At the minute, we're 6,300. We have about 300 wastage a year. When I mean wastage, that's people who retire or leave service a year. And then we have something like 600 or 700 who are on long-term or short-term sick, and then many more who are deployed doing other jobs. So our Chief Constable, if you look at deployable officers, people he can put on the streets to deal with the issues that we face on a day-to-day basis, you're way down to near 5,000. That's not acceptable. I know that John is really concerned about providing a service for the people, and he simply cannot do it with the budget he's got. So I think he had no choice to do what he's doing. I think he should be commended for standing up. When the politicians are not standing up for him, he stood up for his officers, and I think he needs to be commended for that.
You have described this letter as deplorable. Why?
Well, it's deplorable because I don't think it needed to be sent out to everybody in the manner that, in which it was. It should have and could have been a direct letter to the chief constable himself, or it could have been a conversation with the chief constable himself. But to put this to the prime minister, to put this to the whole of the justice committee and the secretariat of that justice committee and to the federation, of course, there's going to be a kickback from this. And I'll be honest, I think we're seeing the kickback now. And I said this when we last spoke about this issue, Stephen, because you asked me the two questions. One was, you know, should he overspend? And I said he's got no choice. And the second thing was, I said that there's nobody really fighting his corner for him. Who is out really fighting for the police service? You know, giving the funds is not a tactical issue. The funds are for strategic outcomes, and we need to understand that. And if we don't fund our police service and understand the issues that they face, then it's going to dwindle.
We are asking this morning the policing board, because they were copied into this, to respond. We're asking other political parties, do they support the Department of Justice in what they've done here, or do they stand by the Chief Constable in writing directly to the Prime Minister? Where does the policing board go from here? Do they support the Department of Justice, or do they support their Chief Constable?
Well, I mean, that's up to them. I think, you know, they need to sit down with the Chief Constable. I think they understand the issues, the frustrations. I think they understand the long-term problems. I think, you know, what has been highlighted with the anti-immigration riots and the trouble we had in Londonderry just highlights that, you know, if we had that in a sustained basis, our police service would simply not be able to cope. I think they know that. I think John has, the Chief Constable has made that very, very clear. So nobody can turn around and say that he's hidden this in any shape or form. I think he's been very clear, and I think he's standing up for his officers, and I think he should be commended for that.
You're talking this morning, you're the first person to come on the Nolan Show, and the first politician to come on the Nolan Show and speak like a leader might, except you've decided not to be the leader of your party anymore. Why?
Stephen, look, I know you want to ask me questions, and look, maybe that's for another day, and I'll speak to you another day about this. You know I'm very open and honest, and I will talk to you about this in due course. That's not for today. Today, this story is so serious that now we have our police chief constable under the pressure that he's being put under now. I think that's what we need to focus on. So if you don't mind, sir, I'll not go down that road at this moment in time, but just stick with the topic we're on.
Well, you're saying that, and yet I've been contacted, Doug. Let me ask you one further question on this.
Stephen, I get you, mate. I get you.
I've been contacted by some of your colleagues saying that that MLAs and others within your party saying they wanted you to stay. Why weren't you prepared to at least think about it?
Stephen, I'm not going there, sir. I come on as the Ulster Unionist Party Justice spokesperson. I think it's fair for me to come on and comment. I've said to you before, Stephen, and you know I'm an honest man. When I tell you I'll come and speak to you about it in due course, I will do.
Is that a promise?
I'm open and honest, but it's certainly not for today. But we'll catch up some other time.
Okay. And one final question. John Boucher, and I know this as a fact, it is not just me interpreting it. When John Boucher said on Monday, publicly, I'll be waiting for the politicians when they come back from holiday, I know that what he meant by that was that he ain't scared of meeting them. They should be worried about meeting him. So this seems to be a very, very serious standoff now between some in Stormont and is there, you know, the safety on the ground of all of us in terms of how the police protect us if there is that standoff between the Chief Constable and Stormont. So how do we defuse this? Or actually, does Boucher need to escalate it to the point he gets the money?
Well, I think it needs to be to the stage where he gets the money. That's it, the last thing. Look, Stephen, I'm going to be honest. I don't think it's a standoff, to be honest. I think that we have a Chief Constable who is fighting for his officers, and he's fighting for his service, and he's fighting to provide a service for the people here. I think one thing that people need to understand about John, the Chief Constable, is that he's into the detail. So when somebody says there's a business case, or when somebody says, look, we'll look at doing this or that, he gets into the detail and says, hi, when, where, what. And I think there's a problem for the department, because Others have not delved into that in such detail. And this present chief constable does exactly that. He does it for his officers, he does it for his force, and he's doing it for us, the people, because he wants to provide that right service for us to keep us safe.
And final question, is it unusual for, this is the Department of Justice, CCing in the Prime Minister, the Secretary of State, the Office of First and Deputy First Minister, the Minister of Justice, the Justice Committee, the Minister of Finance, the Northern Ireland Policing Board, this rebuke to Boucher? Is it, you've described that act as I can't remember the word you used now. You certainly, what did you say, Doug?
Well, I don't know what it says, but I'll tell you what I think. I think it's deplorable, and I think it's very deliberate. I think it's a very, very deliberate attempt to slap down the chief constable by putting it out to so many people. And it's been done on direction by the minister, without a shadow of a doubt. But the reality is...
Well, we need to ask Naomi Long that, but it would be unusual for a permanent secretary to write to a chief constable, would it, without the say of his minister?
Well,
that's what I'm asking you. Is it unusual for this to have been copied to so many different people, Doug, in your view?
Yeah, I think it's extremely unusual, given the nature of what's being said. We sometimes get letters which are distributed wide, which are procedural letters, process letters, and letters outlining difficulties. But this was a rebuke. It can be seen as a rebuke. I don't know what the chief constable thinks of it himself, but me reading it sees it as a rebuke, and it's been put wide circulation to make sure people know that they're trying to feel the collar of our chief constable. Where we go from this, I don't know, but I'm sure people will sit down and be able to talk this one, sort this issue out.
Doug Bailey, I hope you keep your promise to come back on the Nolan Show in due time. We'll respect what you've said this morning, and thank you very much, Doug, for talking to us today.
All the best, sir.
Crime correspondent for the Belfast Telegraph, Alison Morris. What do you make of this letter? Do you think it is deplorable, as Doug Beattie has described it, or what adjective would you put to this?
No, well, I mean, first of all, it's very bizarre in terms of the wording and also the fact that, as you said, so many people were CC'd in it. It was almost as if it was an attempt to try to humiliate the chief constable in a wider political arena, and to sort of put him in his box and let him know his place. And if that was the case, and if they were trying to say, this is not your job, we will deal with the finances, albeit they're not dealing with the finances, and the finances are shambles, you go back to doing your job. Well, I don't think that's going to work. And the fact is, I mean, I suppose I smirked at the, when you come back from your holiday, you know, I'll be there waiting for you, because the chief constable was saying, I think in his own words, while we have been out dealing with riots all over the place, with officers getting injured, with no staff, with no budget, having to call in mutual assistance officers, you've been on holiday, and then send a letter basically telling him to keep them his budget or else. But what is the or else? Because there wasn't so long ago...
They spell it out. Hugh Withers says in this, he will personally intervene because it's his duty to do so.
To personally intervene, and
he doesn't say personally. He says
he will
intervene. Sorry,
is he going to go and take on the job, chief constable? Is he going to say how many officers be on the street at any particular time to keep them in the budget? Is he going to say, well, if there is, you know, an emergency situation or security situation, well, you can't police that? Is he going to say that if people are phoning up in situations of domestic violence, whatever, well, if there's not enough officers on because you're not in your budget? I mean, clearly a permanent secretary can't take on the job of a chief constable. So how is the permanent secretary going to intervene? And where is the justice minister? Because the permanent secretary was in charge for quite some time when we had no assembly, but we do have an assembly now, and we have a justice minister. And if there is an issue between the department and the chief constable, surely it's for the justice minister and not the permanent secretary. And also, I was going to go back and say, along with many other journalists and some of your colleagues in the BBC, we stood at one time, I think, for something like 8 hours in the pouring rain outside the policing board, while policing was in a complete another crisis to do with, at that time, the data breach, everything else that came after that, the judgment, the Armour Road report, and it was just crumbling around us. And I thought the policing was in I suppose, the worst state it had been since the formation of the PSNI and going away back to 2001. And John Boucher was the person who they relied on to come and fix that, because policing was crumbling. There were junior officers saying they were leaving. Police officers, especially uniform officers, are always very reluctant to speak to the media. At that time, you know, and I know that we were getting emails and phone calls from them saying, you know, we can't work here anymore. You know, we're not being valued. It's not safe. And John Boucher was asked by the policing board to come in and fix that and to come in and steady the ship and to do what he said at that time was to get the PSNI off the front pages for all the wrong reasons. And that is what he has been doing. And now we're told by basically bean counters that, you know, if you don't stay within this budget, the fact is policing...
Well, no, Alison, they're not... Look, for any country to run in a functional way, it's unfair of you to describe a permanent secretary trying to keep a department within budget as a bean counter. He's doing his job. Willis is doing his job, presumably on the instruction of his minister, Naomi Long.
Every department needs to stay within budget, but if some departments are working outside their budget, unlike health and policing, people's lives aren't at risk by them going over or under budget. The fact is, when you come to something like policing, you're putting the lives of the public at risk, and policing, in those terms, especially when you come to policing things like... They've had a woman, by the way, there's been a woman murdered this week already. You know, we have one of the highest rates of femicide in Europe, and all of this needs to be policed while at the same time we're having public order situations. We're having very young people being put at risk, taking part in risky behaviour and in riots, and all of that needs policed. And to write a letter to the people who are actually policing that from the comfort of an office, I can see why it is angering people like the Police Federation. They're phoning up. But what I will say is I can't see it working, because if anyone has interviewed John Boucher or met him, you know that he's not going to be the type of person, because the alternative
is... he's literally saying he'll be waiting for him, and the inference from this is the politicians should be worried when they get back from holiday about what he has to say to them. Stay there if you can, Alison. John Kamler, Business Economics Editor, joining us this morning as well. Good morning to you, John. Good morning. Can you help us understand the legal responsibilities that the Permanent Secretary, Hugh Willis, has, and indeed John Boucher has, to stay within the money the democratically elected Assembly has decided to give them?
Yeah, so I think if we take a couple of steps back here, the way that funding for public services works in Northern Ireland is generally... there's no negotiation involved in terms of the amount of money that we get from Westminster. It's all worked out according to a formula, the Barnett formula. So basically, there's increased spending in England, then we get a proportional increase relative to the size of our population. So there's nobody that you're asking the money for. It just arrives by a mechanical process. There are times, of course, where it doesn't work according to the formula, and Stormont politicians will go and seek separate deals, generally as part of trying to restore or underpin Stormont. And we've seen that many, many times. And most recently, just before the election, actually, the finance minister was holding discussions with the Treasury to change the funding formula for Northern Ireland, so we now get a top-up every time new money is awarded. One of the things being pointed out in this letter is there is a process here, a well-established process, is that negotiations on money flow through the Department of Finance, and generally what happens is the Finance Minister will hold discussions with the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, and before any of those discussions happen, you basically have agreement at the Executive about what the priorities are and what the ask is. Part of the irritation here with the Chief Constable is that he has stepped outside of that process, and rather than funneling things through his Minister up to the Executive, he has gone directly to the Prime Minister, which in some ways would undermine the Justice Minister and the Executive as a whole. In terms of this legal question, it comes down to somebody known as the Accounting Officer. The Permanent Secretaries are the principal accounting officers within their departments, and then you also have the Chief Constable, who is the accounting officer for the police. And there are
certain
responsibilities.
So to be fair to Hugh Willis, he's doing his job, John, is that right? It's Hugh Willis' responsibility, he's doing his job.
Yeah. Yeah, he is basically saying, listen, you can't say that you're going to or kind of knowingly bust your budget effectively. You know, there are certain public spending rules which you must maintain. So that is part of it. I think, though, also politically, there will be some irritation about the regular interventions of the newish chief constable, you know, for example, at the time of the riots there, saying, listen, this force has been allowed to decay. And there would be other ministers saying, well, listen, we all have our spending challenges in health, in education, in housing, you name it. We could all do with more money, but we're not running off writing letters to the Prime Minister. You know, you don't have the chief executive of the housing executive writing to the Prime Minister and demanding more money. I suppose that the one area where you could say the chief constable is slightly different is that there are certain parts of policing which are reserved matters. So, for example, national security is a reserved matter. That means responsibility lies with Westminster. And there have been times in the past where additional money has come direct from Westminster to the cops
that he said on Monday
to deal with that. Yes, exactly. So that is part of it. So in some ways, that is the bit of cover potentially the chief constable has, is to say, listen, as well as those devolved responsibilities, there are also the national security responsibilities.
Okay. John, thank you very much. Alison Morris, back to you this morning. I see one of your colleagues in the newsletter, David Thompson, formerly of this parish, in the newsletter is writing about this today too. How much will this letter, do you feel, capture the public mood and indeed the journalistic mood in Northern Ireland? Are you aware of what the relationship is, what the standard of the relationship is between John Boucher and the Justice Minister?
I mean, I don't think that the relationship there is bad. I don't get the impression, I've never heard anything that it's bad, but I do think that, and we've seen that through policing board meetings, that Boucher feels that he has been more or less abandoned by the politicians who are just not listening to what he's saying. I mean, he said in the last policing board meeting, I keep saying it, but nobody's listening. You know, this is now a really dangerous situation. And the issue is that I can see, policing here at the public, we have a very difficult relationship between policing and the public, and that moves sometimes from one community to the other community depending on what's happening on the ground. But I think that most people generally believe that we deserve to have a proper police service, that if you're in an hour of need that they're able to come and attend, and that they will, and that right now we don't have that. But the other thing just I was going to say is, what is the sanction of all this? So if the chief constable just goes, says to the department, I can't stay within that budget because that budget doesn't work, so I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing, what is the sanction? Are they going to sack him?
And Alison, this has just dropped in the last few seconds to the Nolan Show. It looks like the policing board are supporting the chief constable. I'll read this statement. The policing board will consider the correspondence from the Department of Justice to the chief constable at its September meeting. So that seems neutral. My brain's churned this just literally in the last few seconds. I'm reading it while churning it. The policing board has fully supported the chief constable in the lobby for securing adequate resourcing for policing to ensure a safe and secure community, and will continue to do so. So what my brain's interpreting that, Alison, tell me if you disagree, the policing board will continue to support the chief constable in the lobby for securing adequate resourcing. That's supporting Boucher and not the Department of Justice.
The thing that made Boucher such an attractive candidate for the job was that he had so many contacts, both political and within the policing arena, both globally and across the UK. And the fact is that when he took on that job, he said he would use all those contacts and work all those contacts to get as much funding and resource for the PSN as possible. Okay. And at the time of his being appointed that job, that was seen as a positive. And now all of a sudden we're being told, oh no, you're stepping outside your box, that's a negative.
Alison Morris, thank you very much indeed. John Boucher's responded. We'll bring that to you, the Chief Constable's response after the news at 10. Good morning, everyone. So, the Nolan Show has in its possession a letter sent by the Department of Justice, written by the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Justice, Hugh Wittes, in which John Boucher is rebuked. He is told that he has stepped out of line in his in the ways that he is trying to secure adequate funding for the PSNI. He is warned not to do it again. He is asked to confirm to the Hugh Wittes that he will not overspend. So there's, once again, yet another very important statement within this letter. So what does the Chief Constable do? Hugh Wittes, has said to Boucher that he wants an undertaking, that he will not underspend. if John Boucher doesn't give it, what does the Department of Justice do next? Well, Hugh Whittis says in this letter that he has a duty to intervene. So are we facing a situation in Northern Ireland? It's again why this is such an important, explosive story. Are we facing a situation here in Northern Ireland where the Chief Constable feels that for our safety, he's got to overspend and a permanent secretary, because of his duty to not let him, is stopping him? What does that do to our safety? How does this not go to the very, very top of Stormont, the First and Deputy First Minister? What is Emma Little-Pengelly? Think about this. What does Gavin Robinson feel about this? Do they support the Department of Justice, or do they support the Chief Constable? This doesn't seem like it's going away anytime soon. It doesn't appear that the Chief Constable is taking this and lying down. In fact, it's the opposite. The Chief Constable has told these politicians, I'm waiting for you when you come back from holiday. Now, that may go down well within the rank and file officers, but how's Stormont going to respond? How do you think they should respond? 030 30 80 55 55 is the number to call. We've just this morning received the Chief Constable's response to this. Now, he didn't know at that stage that we were going to be receiving this policing board memo. So the policing board have told the Nolan Show that they will continue to support the Chief Constable in the lobby for securing adequate resourcing. So that's the policing board clearly coming out in favour of the Chief Constable's approach rather than supporting the Department of Justice or indeed the demands from the Permanent Secretary, Hugh Whittis. John Boucher has told the Nolan Show the following. I am the Chief Constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland and my role is to deliver an effective policing service for all communities in Northern Ireland. This must be delivered with operational independence. Look at that. That's a crucial statement from Boucher. He's deliberately talking about operational independence. He says, having regard to my accounting officer obligations, of which I am very aware. It is important to highlight that I have a number of statutory responsibilities, not least those set out in Section 32 of the Police Northern Ireland Act, which requires me and my officers, A, to protect life and property, B, to preserve order, C, to prevent the commission of offences, D, where an offence has been committed, to take measures to bring the offender to justice. So Boucher's essentially saying here, you're talking about money, you haven't given me an adequate budget, and my legal responsibility with regards in the context of Hugh Whittis reminding him what his legal responsibility is in terms of budgets, Boucher is clearly saying, yes, but here are my legal responsibilities in terms of protecting life and the people of Northern Ireland. And the Chief Constable says, in seeking to discharge my duties, I have been highlighting the critical issue of PSNI funding and the significant under-resourcing. And I've been doing this since I became Chief Constable last October. I have and will continue to work with all stakeholders involved in the difficult challenges of police funding, including the Northern Ireland Executive, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, Justice Minister and Westminster, to ensure the Police Service of Northern Ireland has the funding necessary to deliver the policing the people of Northern Ireland are entitled to, while at the same time providing for the health and well-being of our police officers and police staff. I am sure we are all committed to this endeavour. Well, look, part of my job, and usually I've maybe got 10 minutes to read through something, this is within seconds of seeing this, that last paragraph from Boucher, he talks about Westminster. So the Department of Justice and Sinn Féin, Sinn Féin's Kiva Archibald, have said, go through us. Sinn Féin signed off on this letter. According to the letter, it starts, Dear John, in consultation with the Department of Finance. Archibald is the Sinn Féin Finance Minister. But look at this last paragraph from Boucher. I'll read it again. I have and will continue to work. Continue to is the key word in there. With all stakeholders including Westminster. So he's basically saying to Stormont, I'm going to continue to talk to Westminster. There's the standoff. What does Naomi Long, do about this? Mary in Belfast. Morning, Mary.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Hi. No, I have no sight of any of these things, and I'm listening keenly to what it was you saying. And my point of concern would have been, I was delighted to see or to hear that the policing board were swinging in behind the chief constable. I definitely think that's very much a move to the good. But I think in a, you know, a forensic look at the language, or certainly the little bit that I've heard, they are clearly in support of his lobbying for more money. But that doesn't imply that there's any support at all for breaching the budget. And we're at that point. You know, the chief constable knows very well, and anyone listening, that we're staring down the barrel of unaffordable to make, to have policing safe. It's an unaffordable, the budget has to be breached. And that has to be reconciled. And are the policing board going to swing in behind him in a continuation?
Well, they already have.
To action.
That's why this statement from the policing board to the Nolan Show this morning is important.
Yes, but it's not. No, I have limited.
They say they will continue. Well, look.
Read
I'll read
that again,
it.
Please, if you would.
The policing board will consider the correspondence from the Department of Justice to the Chief Constable at a September meeting. So I'll decode that for you. That basically means they'll talk about that in the policing board, right? But the decision's already been made. Next line. The policing board has fully supported the Chief Constable in the lobby for securing adequate resourcing for policing to ensure a safe and secure community. And here's the key part, and will continue to do so. So the policing board are saying the lobbying that Boucher's doing, we will continue to support it. That is in the face of the Department of Justice telling Boucher to stop lobbying, unless it's gone through them.
My focus, I suspect, is really at some point either the lobbying will continue, but there will be a point, and perhaps it's already been reached many times, where the budget, the given existing budget, has to be broken to provide safe policing. My question is, one, is the policing board still in support of the chief constable breaking that budget to provide safe policing? Because the wording of that doesn't touch that. They're supporting him lobbying and continuing to lobby. Excellent. Are they going to support him if he's dealing in the, when he's dealing in the real politics
Boucher has said in this statement, like, he's not a stupid man. He knows words are important. Boucher has said that he's going to continue, let me just make sure I get this right, to work with Westminster.
Right, but that's in search of more money. If in the meantime the reality is that he has to overspend, is the not only the Department of Justice, but is the policing board going to support him in that? Because I think that's very important.
They've said they will continue to do so. Mary, thank you. Stephen in Antrim. Morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. I wonder, has the last 48 hours or so not been an indication on an attack on leadership, Stephen? You know, we had Doug Beattie's difficulties, and you know, we are all aware of those. And now we have John Boucher's difficulties. And who is it that's causing these difficulties? Well, I would suggest it's the hypocrites that are running our political
You can't link Stormont to Doug Beattie within an Ulster Unionist Party situation. That's about the internal workings in the Ulster Unionist Party.
But they are politicians, Stephen. Well, let me put the counter to you.
It's this. If the head of every department in Northern Ireland and every public body, rather than going through Stormont, wrote to the Prime Minister individually, there would be a long queue of people, and would that be the best way to try to secure adequate funding in Northern Ireland? So basically, Stormont, not all the parties, the DUP are silent on this. We're trying to ring them this morning on this.
There's a reason, Stephen, that the DUP are silent.
We've been trying to get through to them, is what I mean. They're not answering the phone.
No, of course not, because, you see, as has been indicated on the particular problems of the Ulster Unionist Party, when the people in the background realise that the spotlight is going to be shone on them, they go into hiding. They are not leaders. You know, we elect people as representatives of the people, And clearly, when push comes to shove, they can't lead. But the point I want to make about the hypocrisy is that the precedent has been long set in overspending in budgets, and in particular in health. You know, if you take health and education, and to me, education needs a good looking at, because no one has made any efforts to curb the spending on the education sector. It's not all just about special needs and transport and feeding kids.
Stephen,
we have plenty of fat that could be trimmed here,
I think,
except that the people in charge don't want to.
Well, it's about decision. It's about decision making. We come back then to, the programming we were doing last week. Where's the program for government, and the decision making around that? Where is the decision? All we have from the Stormont executive so far is that they're continuing to lobby Keir Starmer for more money. So what does Boucher do in the meantime? Does he cut the police force to Northern Ireland, the services, to the point where he thinks it is unsafe? Is that what Stormont want them to do? Now, Willis spells out in this letter the following. As a counting officer, you're required to live within budget, and if doing so would require you to take decisions that are so unpalatable that they would introduce very serious risks to your organisation and to the public we serve, then I would encourage you to reflect upon the scale of decisions that would be required and the consequences and impact. That narrative can then helpfully inform future funding decisions and support the executive consideration if further money is made available during the year. So the Department of Justice are saying, you haven't spelt this out to us. That's what they're accusing Boucher of doing. You have not spelt this out to us, what the consequences and impact would be. They're saying that because they then say that narrative can helpfully inform future funding decisions. Don't they know? Have they heard John Boucher talk about cuts in services? What more information do they need? Can the Department of Justice provide clarity now that they've written this letter to the Prime Minister and to other committees? What more do they need from John Boucher? Now, how much will this story travel? Will this be a day's news and go away? I told you earlier that David Thompson in the newsletter also has this letter. He's writing about it there. Alison Morris from the Belfast Telegraph on talking about it this morning. What will the other political parties do? Sinn Féin's have supported this letter, according to the letter, in consultation with the Department of Finance. So that is Caoimhe Archibald's department from Sinn Féin. John Burrows, former senior police officer himself. Is this a slapdown, or is this Boucher rightly being told, live up to your responsibilities here and work within your budget like everybody else has to?
I think it's a slapdown, and I'm totally supportive of the Chief Constable. And, you know, we talk about legal obligations. Yes, he has a legal obligation as the accounting officer to come within a budget, but that sits in a competing range of legal obligations. The Chief pointed out there, John Boucher, Section 32, which is the kind of core legal responsibilities of the police to, you know, catch bad guys, keep order in the streets. We've seen how graphically important that is in recent times with the race riots. But his other responsibilities, he's got a responsibility personally under the health and safety legislation to his officers to make sure that they have a system and arrangements in place to make sure officers are physically and mentally well. We've seen that that's not in place now because officers are committing suicide. You have a 9-month wait to get psychiatric help if you come across trauma in your police service. That's unacceptable.
He specifically mentions that in what he's told the Nolan Show. He says that he's got to, he has a statutory responsibility under Section 32 of the Police Act. He has got to protect life and property. He's got to preserve order. He's legally obliged, he says, to prevent the commission of offences. And he's obliged to take measures to bring the offenders to justice.
Absolutely. And you've got that. You've got the health and safety towards the staff. You've also got Article 2 of the Human Rights Act, which is about, you know, upholding the right to life of everybody, you know, who are faced with threats like domestic violence and all of the other things that we face with a substantial terrorist threat in Northern Ireland. You know, so these are all the obligations. The one that actually should keep him up at night is the one that relates to people being safe. And you know what? If he has to breach a legal obligation in a competing environment of legal obligations, the one to breach is your money. And, you know, this letter to me reads like the Department of Justice is part of the problem, not part of the solution. The police service have made it clear for months, years, the problems with their budget. The chief constable was brought in the middle of an existential crisis to fix the problems in the PSNI. And everybody should be behind him and instead of getting in the way. I think this is a disgraceful intervention. I think it's a slapdown. And I think it's really astonishing. The chief constable is my backing. And I really think the justice minister and the department and the finance minister and the department, they're misreading the room in this. The public mood is to support a police service, keeping them safe. And I'll say one other thing, Stephen. Do you see that the police...
Yeah,
the,
but that same public mood wants enough money for our waiting list in our Department of Health. They want enough money for education. They want potholes to be fixed on our roads. And there's a finite amount of money.
I get that. And I'll say two things back to you. One is that the starving of the police service is being of a far greater sense financially than the other departments. And the second point is people's lives are at risk if you don't have an effective police service. The lives of our police officers who keep the people safe are at risk if you don't have a proper police service. The numbers are scary. You know, Doug Beattie was right. 6,300 officers is probably 2,000 officers short, but you've got about 1,000 officers who are unfit for a full range of duties. You've got hundreds of officers on the sick. Many are on the sick because they can't get a referral to the occupational health welfare services so they can get back to work. That's caused by not having enough money. You know, this is an existential crisis in policing. And, you know,
well, we know that they're 35 million short. It's where this goes next. The Police Federation on the Nolan Show this morning have described this letter from Naomi Long's department as, quote, a high-handed attempt to gag, embarrass and chastise the Chief Constable of the Police in Northern Ireland. An attempt to gag and embarrass him. So it's why I'm asking what the DUP, where are they this morning? Because this is a critical conversation. It is clear that Sinn Féin, through their minister, has supported this letter going to John Boucher. So does the DUP, the next biggest party in Northern Ireland, do they support the Chief Constable and the Policing Board's view and the Police Federation's view, or do they support the view that Boucher has erred here and he must never do this again? So where are the DUP in this? We know where Alliance are because the Department of Justice is led by an Alliance minister. Where's the SDLP in this? We're reaching out to them. We know now where the Ulster Unionist Party is. Doug Beattie's described this letter as deplorable. Where's the DUP in this? Where's Gavin Robinson in this?
Well, there's going to be an interesting thing, Stephen, because, of course, on the policing board, which is supporting the Chief Constable, you have members, is it at least two Sinn Féin members and two Alliance members? So, you know, you talk about the two masters in Northern Ireland. It's a really complex environment the Chief Constable's held to account by, because you've now got the policing board saying, in shorthand, we back the Chief Constable, but we have two ministers who from two different parties, Sinn Féin and the Alliance, who are also representing the policing board, who have part of the slapdown of the Chief Constable. So, you know, where do all the political parties stand and where does the policing board stand? I presume if the policing board has spoken so quickly to you, that's the kind of the chief executive of the policing board, as opposed to the political members coming together as a full plenary session. So, you know, I think we need more detail on that. But you know, there is a conflict there. Sinn Féin and the Alliance are on the policing board, and the policing board are saying they support the Chief Constable.
If we learn after this story, after this broadcast today, if we learn where all of the different political parties are, is it possible Boucher won't survive this, or is it possible that the politicians will give way and give him more money? How would you call it?
I would call it the Chief Constable's on the right side of history in this. I think his officers are behind him, staff are behind him, the broad police families behind him, and I think most politicians are behind him, even though they haven't come out and said so yet. I don't think the Chief Constable's in danger at the moment, because I think he has support. And I think the politicians have to wise up. I really do. And look, can I say this, Stephen? See the fact that the PSNI, maybe the third biggest police force in the country, had to go and ask for 80 officers to come and help them for what was limited disorder, very horrible disorder, but very limited. That's a disgrace. You know, I could muster 80 cops up when I was a junior sergeant to help hold a crime scene for a couple of days. That is a disgrace. You know, these are extraordinary times.
John Burrows, thank you very much. John, morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Don't you interrupt me now. I'm sitting here half an hour waiting to speak to you. So don't you interrupt me whenever I go on to one, okay? I've listened about the police this last week of weeks, and the police are under resourced, and the police can't cope with this, and they're on top of it. Oh, our officers shouldn't be facing this and that and the other. Are they a police force, or what are they? They brought on an extra 120 officers from Scotland to deal with the so-called race riots.
They brought in 80?
Well, there was 120.
What's your point?
The point is, these local race riots, whatever you want to call them.
They were race riots.
Pardon?
They were race riots, but what's the point about policing?
The point is, that wasn't rioting, because the one thing people in Northern Ireland can do is riot. That's the one thing in this country.
It's a different subject, John. We're not talking about that this morning. We're talking about policing. Let's remind ourselves what John Boucher said. Remember, he had got the letter by this stage. He had been rebuked by this stage. He had been told, don't do this again. And he had been told, if you try to, we, the Department of Justice, are intervening and stopping you spending the money. And after reading that letter, here's what Boucher then said the following Monday, 2 days later.
With regards to the money, look, it's a period where everybody seems to be away. It's a holiday period. We know Stormont's not sitting. They came back to call out the unacceptable nature of what we've seen on the streets of Northern Ireland. When they get back in September, I'll be waiting and I'll be talking to them about the issues that I've highlighted to the PM and to them previously. But they need to be funded to need, and we then need to get our share of that money, which hasn't happened for some time.
Do not underplay in your own mind Boucher saying, I'll be waiting. Because I can tell you what he means. He means that he's not worried about them coming to him. They should be worried about him coming to them. My goodness, what a story this is. What a situation this is. And the Police Federation of Northern Ireland, who represent police officers on the ground, they're pulling no punches on Nolan this morning. Here's Liam Kelly.
It's a clear attempt to gag the Chief Constable and prevent him from speaking about the cuts and the failure of Stormont themselves to campaign for a proper budget. And it's more evidence, Stephen, of how dysfunctional and broken our system is. I mean, this is quite petty in some regards. And that we have people in our government who are more interested in protocol and processes than actually fixing the problems that are actually there. And these problems that the Chief Constable has brought to the table of the Prime Minister directly are nothing new to what he's already told our own executive and our own government and our own officials. They're just not reacting to it. They're dithering. They're procrastinating. And in that void, we have seen what happened in the last number of weeks, is the police are at breaking point. And I think that our Chief Constable has basically been forced into a corner around this one. He's not getting what he needs. He's not getting the resources that he wants. And now he's had to go to the Prime Minister directly. And they're more interested in process.
That's the Police Federation. Emma Little-Pengelly, the Deputy First Minister of this country. Whose side are you on? What is your public pronouncement about the Chief Constable? Do you, Emma Little-Pengelly, do you, Gavin Robinson, support what the Chief Constable has done? Or was it right that he's been told off by Naomi Long's department and Sinn Féin? Colm Eastwood, let's wait and see what Colm says about this. Let's see what the official opposition say about this as this political story unfolds and the standoff that there currently is between the Chief Constable of Northern Ireland and the Department of Justice continues. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for your company today.
In the country. Listen again on BBC Sounds. Tweet @StephenNolan.